The Justin Robert Young program brought to you, as always, by everybody who supports us at payjurydaily.com. If this daily program brings a little joy to your life, then what do you say you kick in a buck? A buck for the month. Oh, that is a pocket change, my friends, when it comes down to everything else. So what do you say you head over there? Payjurydaily.com. Also, we got a live show coming to you in Austin, Texas. Myself, Brian Brushwood. We join forces with the Ice Cream Social Boys flying in from Las Vegas for their first Texas performance ever. Hey, you want to top that off with dual core? Little nerdcore rap for you? Oh, how about this? You go ahead and add the Possum Posse on top of it. How about just announce special guest Tom Merritt? How about just announce special guest, the first ever live on stage Modern Rogue performance? Yes, the YouTube series comes to life live on stage at the North Door. It all takes place March 9th, doors at 2. You're going to want to be in as soon as possible, running till 6 o'clock. And you can get tickets by going to podcastlink.com/nightattack. Hey, you want to have it be even easier? If you're on an iOS device, literally just trigger Siri and say podcastlink.com/nightattack. Just that easy. Just leave it open and stare at it. All right, never talking about how we support the show. What do you say? Me and you, huh? We just do the damn thing. Here we go. Friends, welcome. Welcome. We got a great episode of the Jury Show here for you today, and it's going to be great because we're going to bring back something. We're going to bring back something that used to bring this show a tremendous amount of joy. All right? It is a little segment that we like to call Neon Signs. I don't, to be totally honest, remember exactly when neon signs, or at least neon sign stories, became a staple of this show, but we had a tremendous amount of fun with them. I guess it was last year or 2 years ago, and now we are going to bring them back. If you are unfamiliar with what a neon sign story is, well, first, let's go ahead and read an email about why we should be doing this again. Zach writes, I really enjoyed the neon signs bit from a few years ago. Was it 2015? Would love to see another installment. I'm dating again for the first time in a long time, and your podcast really helped me identify a few neon sign situations that I might have otherwise missed. Thank you. Wishing you all the best from Iowa. All right. Here is what a neon sign story is. When you were in your youth, or maybe even not in your youth, when you have been in a situation, either dating with a friend or a stranger, and they were, in hindsight, when you think about it now as the person you are now, very clearly giving you the absolute go-ahead to initiate some kind of sexual or romantic relationship. They were just doing something that was absolutely trying to flag you down, but for whatever reason, be it our own self-criticism, our own oafishness, our own aloofness, you just didn't have the capability to see what was in front of you. Indeed, it wasn't that you just missed a streetlight. You missed a neon sign. So what makes a neon sign story? I broke it down here for you. A story where someone in hindsight wanted to get closer to you romantically or sexually, and a story where you reacted to that clear communication with comical indifference. Some of our favorite neon sign stories from the past included a man who was in a room with a girl that clearly wanted their relationship to be moved to the next level. So she decided to show him her bra to see how her bra looked. And the guy responded by saying, "Cool bra, can I please read you my Warcraft 3 fan fiction?" That was maybe the greatest neon sign story of all time. A young man in his teens sitting on a bed with a girl and saying, "Okay, cool. Sex is cool and all, but have you heard my Warcraft 3 fan fiction? So I will get this party started, and I want to read these throughout the week. So go ahead and please send them in early and often, jurydaily@gmail.com. Again, jurydaily@gmail.com. I will tell you a neon sign story from my own life. And to be fully honest, I don't remember whether or not I have already told people this story in previous versions of episodes where we've done stuff like this. But when I was in high school, I was coming into that high school from a different middle school. So I had previously gone to what was known in that area as magnet schools. They were basically specialized schools wherein you could, if you really wanted to get a leg up on medicine, if you wanted to get a leg up on being a lawyer, if you wanted to get a leg up on being whatever, from middle school through high school in Broward County, they had magnet program. And I went to the journalism one, broadcast and print journalism. This effectively meant that I was going to a high school that was not well rated, that was a little bit in what some might colloquially refer to as the hood. And we would be bussed in from wherever we were coming in from, and we would go there. Now, this created a lot of sociological problems that we can go into in a later show. But effectively, all that means is that I didn't know anybody in high school. So I was coming in and I was new. I'm a freshman in high school with all that goes along with that, right? Understand, there's hormones roiling. I got boners all of a sudden that are popping out all over the place. I'm just a cesspool of face grease and wondering about all sorts of things that are happening in and around my body. So, in my freshman English class, there's a very cute goth girl sitting in front of me. She always dresses all in black. She's got the combat boots. Like, this is, typo negative stickers on her journal or whatever. Like, this is very, very sweet. We wound up becoming very good friends, but for all we know right now, she is just a goth girl. And she starts telling me that she likes to write stories. And I'm like, cool. She's like, would you like to read some of my stories? I'm like, okay, sure. So if I remember correctly, the first story that she gives me to read is, it's gothy, right? it certainly is playing upon the themes of the macabre, but it's just a story. I'm like, hey, you want to know what? That's a good story. So then she gives me another one, and I'm kind of taping this memory together because I don't remember exactly how the progression went. But let's imagine the second or third story that she gives me, and then therefore exclusively every story she gives me after that, all have one central theme. They are all stories about a young girl interacting with a scary person and having sex with them. Be they devils or demons or ghosts. She's just like, I'm going to just give you my stories about a young girl who looks like me and sounds like me and talks like me having sex with something weird. So I reacted by legitimately just critiquing her writing. I was just like, oh, okay. I don't know if I really got the motivations of the protagonist. If I were you, I would just clear that up. There's a few real quickness and talks that you can make and make a more cohesive story. I just want to know where we... Well, did we learn a lesson by the end? Never, never in my wildest dreams, in my realm of not knowing... I mean, I the whole concept that a woman would be attracted to me was foreign, absolutely on another planet. I didn't need that. That was not even a possibility, right? Let alone a cute girl right in front of me. Oh, Jesus. So it certainly can't be that. Whatever you're thinking can't be that. I think she, for whatever reason, it made more sense to me. That she was looking at me as a writing coach and less as somebody that she was trying to flirt with. Then here's the funniest part about it. She then wound up hooking up with another dude that we knew, and I was mad about it. I was like, well, not mad. I was just a little salty. I was just like, well, man, I wonder what that guy's got. So that is my neon signs story. I do believe that indeed, and I've had conversations with her since, because we became friends. I'm pretty sure that's a neon sign story. That was certainly, well, let me just put it this way. I don't think I would have been brushed aside should I have looked at it as something, of a request. I think she would have been here for it. So there we go. The gates are open. Neon signs is what we are looking for. You can email in your neon sign stories for this week to jurydaily@gmail.com. We're going to try and keep it to a week. If we have too many, then we'll figure it out. But we need some ASAP. Write them in. jurydaily@gmail.com. But enough of that. Let's go ahead and get into the news. All right. David Assman has been denied a vanity license plate out in Saskatchewan, Canada. I'm sorry. It is pronounced Osman. Osman. But he is so annoyed about the fact that he has not been able to... Not been able to get a Osman vanity license plate that he has now changed the back of his tailgate the art on his tailgate to be a gigantic Saskatchewan license that says Assman. We read now from KUTV. David Osman is so proud of his family name he wanted to get it put on a vanity license plate on his homeland of Saskatchewan. Osman was denied the vanity plate by Saskatchewan government insurance, reading Assman because some may find it offensive. Osman wrote about the denial on Facebook, quote, "I know there are a few people out there that are wondering why I'm making such a big deal about getting denied my last name as a license plate. The reason SGI gave me for denying it was because somebody may find it offensive. As I told one reporter, there are too many snowflakes out there that get their feelings hurt about nothing. People need to learn to suck it up once in a while. Just because you don't like or feel something is inappropriate, you don't have to make a big deal about it. If it isn't illegal or going to harm somebody, mind your own business and carry on with your life." He went on. "Just as SGI anticipated me appealing my denial, I also anticipated them refusing my appeal. I could have gotten a plate for the front, but I really wanted a vanity plate on the back of my truck. So thank you, eternally etched, Mr. Osman." There are a couple things that immediately spring to mind whenever I see Ass Man. One of which is, of course, multiple time tag team champion, the Ass Man, Mr. Ass, Billy Gunn, with one of the greatest wrestling theme songs in history. But another is this. It brings me back to my childhood. This is long, a few years before the Goth Girl. I would go with my little brother to the Virgin Islands, specifically St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, to visit my dad. My father at the time was working for a beeper company out there back when, beepers and cell phones were very much a thing. This was like my job over the summers was to be a operator for people to call in, and I would type out the alphanumeric characters that would then pop up on somebody's pager. I would love a pager again. I would love for somebody to have to do that, to call and do it. Oh, I don't know. This is probably just me being, old back in my day. But no, it is not about Seinfeld, this memory. This is about, believe it or not, David Letterman's Late Show. So one of the only channels, channels that we got in on Rabbit Ears Television was CBS. Oddly enough, it was the CBS signal for North Carolina. I got North Carolina CBS, right? But I became a ritual viewer of David Letterman's Late Show. I loved it. And this was during, I think, a fairly fertile period for the Late Show. It was maybe the ending of the kind of golden age of the Late Show. Well, this is past the golden age, but they would have these bits and they would just go forever with them, and I loved it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. So whenever I see Ass Man, this even supersedes the "I'm an Ass Man" theme song. It supersedes Seinfeld. All I can think of is this bit from David Letterman's Late Show.
Scott Goslin and Dick Assman, formerly of Northgate Petro, have relocated to Victoria Square. Now, folks, I know that it's not fair to make fun of somebody's name, but good heavens. Goslin? Paul, do you have anything for this?
Absolutely. Tony, hit it.
Northgate Petro, Canada. Oh, they're relocating. Their new office at Victoria Square, they're celebrating. Oh, vaya con Dios, Dick Assman. Vaya con Dios, my love.
Vaya con Dios, Dick Ass Man is the number one thing that I think of whenever anyone says Ass Man. Just vaya con Dios, Dick Ass Man. Now, they are both Canadian. I didn't know that the Canada was producing so many ass men. I don't know if they are related either. If that motherfucker made news, though, and none of these news outlets said that he was indeed related to the famous Dick Ass Man, because this is a David Ass Man. This ain't even Dick. It's not Dick, man. Dick Ass Man, that's the way to go. Vaya con Dios, Dick Ass Man. That's the way you roll. I wonder what's up with the Dick Ass Man these days. They went weeks with that bit, by the way. They went weeks with the Dick Ass Man thing. They wound up like getting him on the show, and they made a big deal. They like sent the producer out to his new gas station. They fucking rode that Dick Ass Man sketch, or that Dick Ass Man joke, into the ground. All right. Here we go. Let's go ahead and get into the emails. Email. JuryDaily@gmail.com. Again, JuryDaily@gmail.com. I've been exercising my talkativity, and it seems to fall flat. I know you're one to strike up conversations at bars, and I wonder what your method is. I'm interested in other people's lives, but can never seem to have a conversation go anywhere. How do you approach people, start, and continue conversations? Nick, here's the biggest thing that you have to realize about starting, continuing, and creating conversations. Understand who wants to have one with you. You gotta be, look, the baseline respect that this is not about you. This is about you and them, and not everybody's into it. The key. If I'm at a bar, and I tend to be a talkative guy, alone, then I'll wait until somebody's having a conversation, right? Bartender and them. And then maybe I'll throw out a line. Like, so they're talking about the baseball, right? And then there's something that I know about, and they bring up the Pirates, and I'll be like, Jesus, man, that team's been shit since they let McCutcheon go. And then if they want to work me in, they can. But a lot of people don't. So they're just like, yeah, you're right. And then they move on. It's up to them. It's up to them to go forward. Here's another note. You can always ask questions about people. You know, the more people talk about themselves, the more they tend to like it. But the biggest thing is respect other people's time. Other people are not little puppets that you can amuse yourself with that'll keep talking. You need to be able to understand that this is about them more so than it's about you. All right. Anonymous writes, your discussion about not trusting your employer reminds me of the last company I worked at and two stories about trusting your employer. I cut one of them, so here's the second. My boss had already screwed my friend out of bonus pay while he was leaving. Fast forward to my exit from the company. I was 2 months overdue for a salary review and frustrated about a lot of things. I got an offer from another company and shared the news with my terrible boss. Things got escalated to our HR group, and they proceeded to make me a modest salary increase offer if I would stay, but I never signed the paperwork. I told them the number was insulting and they had to do better. They came back with a larger increase and offered me my boss's position. The amount was still lower than my new offer, and I followed the money instead of the title, knowing that the company was not for me long term. Put in my 2 weeks' notice and asked the HR person to honor my salary review and backdate it to when it was supposed to be completed. I said that despite my 2-week notice, It was really my boss's fault for the salary review being late and that I shouldn't be punished for their lack of responsibility. Yep, I threw my boss right under the bus. So not only did the HR team member take an unemotional view of the situation, he honored my salary review. My boss was demoted from middle manager back down to an individual contributor, and they offered me their position as a last-ditch effort to keep me on board. I was the first of three people to quit under the boss within a two-week period, and their name is basically garbage in the company now. Vengeance! Moral of the story. Your bosses may not have your best interest in heart, especially when they know that you're leaving the team or the company. Things can get emotional. Look to HR, your employment contract, and your company handbook and policies to have your back. If you are ready or on your way out the door, don't be afraid to stand up for yourself and ask what you think you deserve. You've got nothing to lose. And seeing how a company handles situations like this can really show you how much they value their everyday employees. Quick shout out to my former coworker, Phil, who I've shared the PX3 and Jury podcast with. I hope he's laughing at these stories because he knows exactly who I'm talking about. All right. I agree. Go to HR. Try to get every penny you can from whatever company you're dealing with. But also, DTA, don't trust anyone. HR, by and large, is there to protect the company, not to protect the employee. So I'm glad it worked out for you, Anonymous. But also, DTA. Don't trust anyone, you stupid piece of trash. And finally, Sam wrote in pitching some new classy euphemisms for poop. He suggested taking the Browns to the Super Bowl, dropping the kids off at the pool. Folks, I think I just saw a big skunk go in here. And the simple and elegant, it's a booty hole. Again, jurydaily@gmail.com, jurydaily@gmail.com. I want your emails. I want them. I want your neon sign stories. I want them. Big shout out to our producers, the Jen, PD Rave, Non-Specific Rock and Roll, Marsh, and Joe Acosta. Whoa! James, the OG Brito. Whoa! And Matthew B. You can email me, jurydaily@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, @JustinRYoung, and you can join our Discord, bit.ly/jurydiscord. Remember, stop the podcast right now. Trigger Siri. Say podcastlink.com/nightattack. Literally that. Podcastlink.com/nightattack, and it will pop up tickets to our show March 9th. In Austin, Texas. South by So Wasted. Bigger and better than ever before. That about wraps it up for us today. My name is Justin Robert Young. I would like for you to please give a round of applause to Mr. Wacky. But more importantly, please don't.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.